So thank you for being here this morning to hear a little bit more about some of the work that was conducted with the Community Conversations Women's Health Initiative and about some of our projects looking at women as stewards of family and community health. So I have no relationships to disclose. I would like to first acknowledge my co-authors, one of the founders of Community Conversations, Dita Obler, Drs. Audra Meadows and Cheryl Clark at Brigham and Women's Hospital. I'm Robin Reed at Northeastern University, and Yvette Cozier, who's at Boston University. So I'll share a little bit about the history of traditional beauty shop and barbershop models, some specific differences that make the Community Conversations model a bit different, including some of our goals, objectives for our pilot assessment, and some information about the lessons that we've learned from this research project, some notable limitations, and then next steps. So it's very well documented that there are startling disparities in the health care that black women are able to receive. So there are disparities in morbidity and mortality, as well as access to high quality health care. And some of these disparities are very well known. Heart disease, cancer are something that everyone is pretty much very familiar with. There are other disparities that are less well known, including increased hospital readmission rates, increased likelihood for postpartum sterilizations, as well as the decreased likelihood of receiving pain medication for emergent conditions. So there have been several interventions in public health that have aimed to address some of these disparities, and one of which is the traditional beauty salon barbershop model, wherein someone who's a beautician is trained with some aspect of health information, and they share that information to their the person whom they're providing a service while they're kind of a captive audience in their chair. These models have been pretty effective, but they generally focus on a singular health issue. So the founders of Community Conversations realized that there might be a missed opportunity to kind of consider and explore the complex dimensions that really affect women's health issues, and especially women of color. So they theorized that a new model might in fact be more appropriate, one that assists women in exploring some of the complex reciprocal relationships between social, emotional, and physical health and well-being, one that recognizes women as stewards of family and community health, and the fact that women are responsible not only for their own health, but quite often for the health of their children, for the health of their spouses, and indeed for the health of people in their community. It appreciates the lived experiences of women's own life circumstances and understands the cultural environment within which women are making healthcare decisions. The idea that women are making decisions based not only on the access, the actual environment in which they exist. So a bit about Community Conversations in this model. Since 2009, this model of community engagement has aimed to address some of the disparities that exist among black women with regard to healthcare quality, high-quality healthcare access. And I have to say a bit specifically about the diversity of this population of women. So it's very easy to look at black women and think about a very homogenous group, but in fact this group is very, very diverse. There are women who participate who self-define as African-American, as Caribbean, as West Indian, as South and Central American, as African, and each of them, these women bring their individual perspectives and cultures to the conversation, and it results in a very unique mix of shared experiences. So since 2009, we have brought together consumers and providers to participate in this conversation. There are over 140 program faculty, 220 consumers, and 95 collaborators, all of them being black women from various disciplines and perspectives and backgrounds. We've had 57 conversations, and they usually consist of between 15 and 20 participants, two to three people who serve as program faculty at each meeting, and the goal is really empowerment. So what really makes Community Conversations different from what we've seen in some of the traditional beauty salon and barbershop models? The real difference is that there is a bi-directional dialogue that allows for the providers to not only serve as the providers of health education, but also to use their lived and learned experiences to participate as consumers as well. So it's this opportunity that makes it much different. It replaces the more conventional hierarchical models of health information exchange, where professionals deliver healthcare information to consumers without having the opportunity for bilateral engagement. It encourages this idea of healthcare scaffolding, wherein we really encourage the participants to develop a set of skills that they can use to evaluate some of the information that they're receiving as a part of this conversation. It's our hope that they're using these skills to leverage not only accessing care, but to be able to evaluate the quality and the type of care that they're receiving. So this model is theoretically based and founded. So I have here Bender's social cognitive theory, and looking at how we impact whole person or whole woman health. So we have both personal, environmental, and behavioral factors. And by changing the environment in which women are experiencing and gaining health education, their personal factors, such as the ability to self-advocate and have increased self-efficacy, will result in changed behavioral factors. So some of the focal areas include health literacy and tools, preserving and promoting physical and emotional health, navigating healthcare systems, and assisting each participant's search for the highest quality care for themselves and their families. So several underlying fundamental goals kind of characterize what we are trying to do as a part of community conversations. And a lot of that highlights the building of both individual and community self-efficacy. So we really want to support these women as they're making more informed choices about the care that they receive for themselves and their families. So we assist participants in their assessment of high-quality care. We address some of the barriers to improved health outcomes and provide opportunities to hone these skills and strategies and, in fact, build a healthcare team. The program founders recognize that this group of women might have several challenges, namely that they might not have the ability to access high-quality health care. They might not feel like they have the right to access high-quality health care or to evaluate the types of services that they were receiving. So the empowerment of the community is really key to the fundamental underlying goals of the program. Another thing we wanted to do is to help participants realize and recognize their leadership capacity. There were several women who were acting in the capacity of leaders, but they didn't necessarily embrace that role. And I'll highlight one of the women who recently received an award from the YWCA for her work, and she actually is the salon owner where the conversations are held. She is definitely a leader, kind and compassionate, and a wonderful person, but she didn't necessarily see herself or embrace the role as a leader. Another thing that we really wanted to do is to provide clinicians and policymakers with crucial feedback. So very often this group of Black women is a group who feels like their voice is not very often heard. So we wanted to have an opportunity for that to happen as well. Here are some examples of some conversations that have been held. So family history, birth control, a bit about being tired, immigrant family dynamics, transformative power of voice. And what's notable about each of these conversations is the type of faculty who are brought together to serve on each of the panels. So the founders were wonderful in their idea of conceptualizing who should be brought together to serve as the faculty. And as a part of each conversation, there are different faculty members from different curricular areas, from public health, from science, from medicine, and research, to allow the people who are participating as consumers to understand that there are various perspectives and various approaches to health and wellness, and that as a consumer, they have an opportunity to select the types of approaches that they feel most meet their needs and the way they choose to approach care. So a bit about the pilot assessment. We realized that as the program continued to operate, we would need to do some assessment to evaluate the effectiveness of the intervention. And so we're in the process of continuing on with evaluation, but I wanted to share some information from the beginnings of our pilot assessment. So we conducted semi-structured interviews to assess the experiences of 10 consumers and 10 faculty members on self-efficacy and behaviors related to the consumers and providers and their experiences with community conversations. So we then analyzed the data. We conducted the interviews, analyzed the data to try to determine some of the strengths and some of the limitations associated with our model. We realized a couple of very interesting things right away. One being that there are several women who chose not to attend, but they were very insistent about not being removed from the mailing list. So they were still interested in receiving information, but for some reason, they didn't necessarily attend. So part of what we would like to do is to use some of the analysis that we have from the pilot data that we've currently collected to help identify some of the barriers to participation and attendance from groups who were frequent, occasional, infrequent, and even women who were non-participants. Part of the reason why we wanted to use a qualitative approach is to make sure that not only we collected data, but that we also heard from women about their individual experiences, especially the things that served as barriers to participation. So here's a bit of our project timeline. We have four different actions or tasks: planning, data collection, data analysis, and dissemination of our results. So we have assorted measures of success for each of these actions and tasks, and as timelines tend to go, there are things that take longer than we anticipated, but we do have a wonderful group of devoted faculty who continue to contribute to the evaluation process. I wanted to share a bit about experiences participating from the consumer's perspective. So these are quotes that are taken directly from the women who were answering as consumers to our pilot. So one consumer says, "Sometimes it's questions that I'm very happy other people ask, because I would have asked the same things. Sometimes I'm a little on the shy side to say it in front of everyone." Another consumer says, "At first I didn't want to go, but then I went. I actually liked it. I like the fact that you can actually, that the practitioners that look like us and made us feel, well, they make us understand what we're asking and then also make us feel comfortable that we can actually have a dialogue when we see our doctor." Another consumer said, "I met a provider there with my problems that I still see to this day. So it was immediate, the benefit, because the conversation was about depression. And I said, I need help. I need to talk to somebody to find out if there are resources that I could afford to do. So I said, I gotta go." And there was one other that I wanted to share with you. She said, "With respect to the issue that she sought treatment for, I'm not going to forget. And you may have your 15 minutes, but if your 15 minutes doesn't cover all of this, we're not leaving. I'm not getting dressed." Some of the consumer experiences with regard to assessing their ability to inspire change, or assessing the ability for the community conversations model to inspire change. This participant says, "Some people spend a lot of time reading up on the effect of vitamins and new drug therapies. I couldn't think of anything more boring. So as a result, I have a tendency to say to myself that this is not an area of expertise that I share with my medical professional. That's his or her job to know this stuff, and my job is to be compliant, okay? They have the knowledge, they tell me what to do. My job is to do it. But there are components to one's health and healthcare that are influenced by race and gender that largely the medical community is blind to. I've come to understand. And because they don't know, I, being quiet and compliant, may be doing a disservice to myself." One last slide about consumer experiences. Another question that we asked with regard to whether or not participating actually changed the way they think about their role in the healthcare team. So one consumer responded, "It's actually important to tell the doctor everything and not leave out any details, versus being subjective of what information you give them. And I've been to the doctor with my mom, but I just, sometimes I felt like my mom talks too much. And now I'm like, now I know why she talks so much." Another consumer mentioned, "With community conversations, you do realize that your health services, they are just that, services. Just like, you know, when you go to the grocery store and you want the best produce, community conversations has made me feel a much better advocate. I didn't just sit and listen. If I feel I don't understand something, I feel okay to ask a question where I don't come off like I'm challenging them. You know, I know how to ask them without bruising their ego, even though I am questioning what they're telling me." And this consumer realized that there is a power differential between the person who's providing care and the person who's receiving care, but realized that it's still her right to understand what her needs are and have those communicated to the clinician so that they can address the health issues that she has. We learned several additional details about the consumers specifically. One was that consumers expressed desires to learn from women who not only understood their risks, but who were also at risk for the same health conditions and health outcomes. So one of the consumers mentioned that it's helpful for her not to start with the very basic fact of, let me explain to my clinician what the experience of being a Black woman is like. That being able to seek a provider who has those same shared basic fundamental underlying things makes it much easier to communicate. And so that was very helpful for them to have providers who look like them as a part of the conversation. Because the environment encourages sharing, we realized that some consumers purposefully did not invite their very close family friends, family and friends, because they didn't necessarily want to share some of those very intimate and private details. We realized that consumers were interested in accessing resources and information that has been vetted by members of their own community and with the community in mind. And so for that reason, the people who were on the strategic planning committee and the committee responsible for choosing the topics are a part of the community themselves. So they feel an additional amount of vesting in the choosing and the discussion of various topics. The other thing we noticed is that consumers are often very aware of how excited the providers are to meet one another, and that it's not even just something that's exciting for the consumers, but it's also very exciting for these Black women healthcare providers to network and meet with one another as well. A couple of lessons learned. We have a real need to encourage consumer participants to accept and embrace their role as community leaders. One of the things that's so striking and important about community-based participatory research is that people who are a part of the community take on these leadership roles to work to bring about change in their own community. Many of these women were already working and serving as leaders in their communities. They just weren't necessarily ready to embrace that role of leader. We also have a need for more African-American or Black women from various cultures in healthcare, and working to try to position some of these women to take the lead in new endeavors. Part of what we do with this program is to have interns who are graduate students from various schools, graduate schools in the city of Boston, to work with us on the project as a way of purposefully including some of these young women in research and efforts to increase the availability of competent researchers of color in the future. So a couple of very notable limitations. Resources regarding faculty, time, people, money, all these things that tend to present an issue. We have a wonderful steering committee, but everyone has other commitments, so that sometimes poses limitations. A couple of important next steps. We want to explore some of these additional barriers that exist. We know that Sunday commitments, when the sessions are held, tend to be church. Some people are working. Again, we wanted to explore some of the information about women who want to attend or do not attend but do not want to be taken off the mailing list. We want to do a better job of analyzing or do some more with regard to analyzing faculty data to understand a bit more about how participation for faculty impacts their professional development, whether it's just networking with other people who are in research or practice, or if there are also other opportunities to improve clinical and academic practice based on the feedback they receive as a part of being a part of the conversation. We also want to continue to identify methods to assist in the training and recruitment of the next generation of program faculty. So I wanted to leave you with some acknowledgments. These are women who are members of Community Conversations, and one final quote from one of our Community Conversations consumers. She said, "Now I definitely feel like my voice, that it's the care. They work for me, right? They are there to treat me, right? And it's a relationship and should be give and take in the way that they should come to the room ready to hear me just like they want me to hear them. And so I think that is one of the biggest changes. I don't necessarily do everything very differently, but my mindset is different. My attitude about how the conversation will go is different than it used to be." So I want to acknowledge the program founders, Tita Obler and Shelley Flaherty, who are actually here today, as well as the Consumer Steering Committee, Strategic Planning Committee. We have one of our wonderful interns who's here today, as well as the program faculty and consumers. Thank you.